Lucy, I'm home.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Having a Ball Podcast. Today, we are talking about Lucy Fakes an Illness. I am your host, Siva.
And I'm Erica.
This episode is number 16 of season one. Look at us getting past, you know, I was going to say into the 20s, but we're not even there yet. No. So you know what? We're working on it.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah. Next year.
Slowly but surely making our way through season one.
Yeah. Came out January 28th, 1952. It was directed by Mark Daniels, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll Jr. It was filmed December 18th, 1951. Well, the synopsis of this. Mm-hmm. Basically, Lucy wants to get into the show, into Ricky's show. Ricky does not want that. And so Lucy fakes having these...
like psychological disorders. Psychological
disorders. Yeah. I was going to say illnesses, but illness or ailment or whatever, to try to get... him to let her into the show. And of course, instead of focusing on just one, she does all three of them.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that a little bit later in the episode. But this was based off of My Favorite Husband's episode, number 111. It was titled Liz Has the Flim Jabs.
Flim Jabs. Flim Jabs. I love that.
And it was broadcast December 30th, 1950. So I think it's kind of fun that they like
renamed it.
They like a year later, almost a year later, she was doing the same thing just in front of the audience for video. So,
this one was a fun. This was one of my favorite ones. You and I were talking before, was that we miss seeing certain episodes after some time. And then when you see them, it's like a pleasant, not surprise, but just a pleasant experience to see a fun episode, because we just got away from one that wasn't so pleasant with the annoying children. And so watching this one was really fun, because I mean, Lucy's obviously the star of the show. I mean, the name, and it's all her, but she really shines like huge
in this one.
And it's just
it's just a very fun episode. And I do want to say, I think a big part of my, so I don't forget that the episodes exist as much, but like I watch mainly on Hulu.
Oh yeah.
When I watch these.
Yeah, and
so
they don't have that,
as everyone knows, you don't have all of the episodes. And so like, this is one of the ones that they don't have on Hulu. And so
yeah,
I'll go and watch those. But these are exactly, it's like, oh yes, I love this one.
Yeah, you miss seeing some of them. And for some reason, it's like you said, Hulu didn't exactly put all of them down. So you miss on, you know, some of the ones that are really memorable. And so this is one of those, certainly. Yeah. What I like about this one is that when they first open up the scene, you see Ethel there in this real fancy sort of dress, you know, her and,
oh, yeah,
and Fred eventually.
Ethel and Fred are both dressed up.
Yeah, like dressed up to the nines, which they never are later, because I assumed that they were going to put on a show or performance of some kind. And it was just fancy attire.
I think exactly. They dressed up like that so that they could audition.
Yeah.
Quote unquote for Ricky. So I find that, I don't know, it's just fun to see them in something different from what they're normally in, because as you mentioned, you know, she usually has like a house yeah, dress on, you know, and he just has down, a shirt. Yeah, yeah, just on a little bit.
Yeah, so they were dressed up waiting. Oh, well, Ethel came in kind of questioning if Ricky was home yet. And, you know, Lucy's like, why do you keep coming in wondering if he's home? And they're, of course, wanting to audition because of the ad that was placed in Variety that Lucy has no idea about.
Right, because he cuts it out.
Cuts it out.
He says it's a recipe.
Oh my gosh. Isn't there another?
Sneaky. You know, she says she's sneaky, but like, he is also sneaky.
There isn't, I forget the name of which episode it is, in a later episode where they cut it out again, And so Fred and Ricky go down to the street wanting to get a copy, and all the papers there have the same area cut. I forget what episode that is, but it's the same sort of concept. And so she's upset because, you know, she's not aware that there is a ad in Variety about a new show that they're putting on at the club. And, you know, they come in and sort of keep waiting for him. And he does eventually come in, and they all just kind of attack him with auditions.
Yeah,
and
I love how he just says hi and they all start dancing around. If I was him, I just would have like turned around and walked back out.
Close the door.
And come back later.
Yeah, yeah. So he does. He does close the door, but on them. Yeah. Yes.
I do want to say real quickly that a portion of this scene, the opening scene, the one with Fred and Ethel showing Lucy the ad in Variety, was cut for syndication, mm-hmm. But was fully restored to full length for the DVD version. So
yeah.
Just an interesting fact. So yes, he and Ricky even asks, like, okay, who's coming back in? Is it two dancers and a girl or whatever? And I love how they just come in through the back door. They always seem to
through the kitchen.
They have like two doors.
Yeah, it's
like,
so quick.
And then they have Ethel's, you know, and the Mertz's apartment that I'm sure they just went right through, you know.
Now, this episode was actually a rerun during season two, because they did like new flashbacks intro, and Fred was faking his yearly case of lumbago to get out of cleaning the furnace. And then Ethel knows that Fred is faking it, and she proves it by pretending to have tickets to a show that night. And Fred, of course, wants to go to the show. So he suddenly recovers from his lumbago and
I'm all better.
Yeah. Are the seats good? And so, of course, he tricks him that way. But yeah, this was sort of a flashback for season two. Now, Ricky says that she cannot be part of it. She doesn't want, you know, I think, Fred and Ethel do get a dancing part.
Yeah, which
part,
I think is, the, right well, away. They don't get the part, but they get offered an audition.
A chance to audition.
All right, if you're going to let them audition, why can't you just let Lucy audition? Mm-hmm. Like, you have the final say over who makes it.
Right.
So what would it hurt to just have her audition and then be like, we picked someone else?
Yeah,
then you avoid all of this.
He always seems you don't to have just a show. Not allow her to do that. And so they, she becomes upset, of course. And she's later, you know, the next scene after he's rejected that idea, she's reading this book called Abnormal Psychology in the kitchen to kind of figure out if there's something that can come of being rejected so often.
Yes, but see, okay, so I didn't remember that it was Ethel that gave her the idea, because Ethel's the one that says she can, you know, have a complex
if you do this enough times,
all this stuff.
And
so I thought that was really cool. Well, not cool, but like, normally Lucy's the one that comes up with it. Mm-hmm. I know we said something like this in Lucy thinks Rixie's trying to murder her, where they just put on like a book cover. You can kind of tell that they did that. They just printed it out. I don't even think they have like a name for anyone who wrote this abnormal psychology book.
Yeah.
But do you want to read the little part? Do you have it?
Or yeah,
do you
want me to
read it?
So
okay,
it says,
you read it. And then, because I want to do the Lucy, the hello darling.
Oh yeah. The Tallulah.
Yes.
So a person who's, this is from the book Abnormal Psychology, a person who's kept from obtaining his innermost desires may manifest this frustration in the following ways. One, he may assume the characteristics of the person he is kept from becoming. Two, he may develop amnesia or magnesia, as Ricky calls it. Or three, he may withdraw from reality and become childlike again, which is a really fascinating way of psychologically manipulating somebody when you don't get your way. And so, you know, Ethel comes in and is like, oh, you're reading something, you know, fascinating these days, and asking,
oh,
which-
yeah, because of course.
Yeah.
Sorry. Of course, they have that scene that I love where Lucy's like, why don't you have some coffee? And then why don't you sit down? And this is after Ethel's already done that.
Done the
and
things.
And she's munching on a cookie.
Yeah.
Lucy's like, you know, why don't you eat a cookie? And she's like, nope, not hungry.
Because she's so into the book.
She's so engrossed.
And so
she's
asking, you know, because she says, like, you made me think of something last night. And so now I'm reading this, and she's trying to say, so which one of those complexes or which one of those, you know, sort of symptoms are you developing? She's like, all of them. And she's going to go with every single one. And so, of course, you know, the next scene, which is one of my favorite scenes, and you're about to hit on that, is she, you know, yes, Ricky comes home. Ricky comes home. And I think we have all just weird people have used this particular accent just because for no reason. You know, Ricky comes home looking for Lucy. She comes in wearing a fur. And this is when she's Tallulah Bankhead, or someone who's like Tallulah Bankhead.
Like Tallulah.
Yeah.
So she's like, hello, darling. The phone woke me at the crack of noon. Noel called. We chatted until one. I bathed till two, turned down the scripts until three. Then Noel, darling, sent me the most darling present. Oh, yes, it was a darling Cadillac. You should really see it, darling. It's darling. And she's got this, like, mink coat and a cigarette. Like,
oh, that was so good. And of course, any Lucy fan knows that later on during the, you know, Lucy does the comedy hour, we do get a guest star from Tallulah Bankhead. And she does sound just like that, by the way. So I love that. I love that. That's so good.
So first of all, where did she get the coat?
Oh, she has it in her closet, darling. It's just there.
She just stole it, darling. But like, that's a mink coat, right?
Oh, looks like it. Or a faux, or maybe it's the one from the previous one where she got to keep it, you know, before.
Did she get to keep? I thought she didn't. He took it back.
We should listen back to that episode.
Oh my goodness.
Having a ball podcast.
And so listen to ourselves. Listen, so she's talking about Noel. Do you have some information on him?
I do. So yeah, the quote you just said, where she says, you know, no cold, was referring to Noel Coward.
Howard.
I didn't want to say it like that, but the famous British playwright. And shortly before this show, Bankhead had starred in a successful revival of his Private Lives on Broadway. And at the time of filming, Bankhead was in the midst of hosting The Big Show on NBC Radio, which ended in April 1952. And Lucy then does her Bankhead impersonation again at the very end of the season in Ricky Ask for a Raise. Do you remember that particular scene in Ricky asked for a raise and her doing a Bankhead impersonation?
Yes, she comes in to the that's where all the, this is one of my favorite episodes also, where they like walk into the Tropicana, right?
Oh, she, yes,
this whole,
yes,
thing about,
yes,
like,
yes, they're all pretending to be different guests,
yeah, or yeah, like, yeah, whatever, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, Ricky Ricardo is not here anymore.
Yeah. But I did want to say that, okay, so I looked up a little bit on Noel, and when we post about this, I can post the link, because there's a whole webpage for him. But he was a writer, an actor, a director, a film producer, a painter, a songwriter, a cabaret artist, and an author.
I am none of those things.
Yeah. He was called by a lot of his close friends the master.
Yeah.
Because just mastered so many, you know, different things, which talents. I thought was pretty, pretty interesting. So
then, of course, you know, Ricky's got this, like, what did I just walk into sort of look on his face. And then after she's done doing that sort of, you know, impersonation, then she turns into more of a child like person, and does
kind of, yeah, she hasn't gone full child yet though, because she goes to the amnesia phase next.
Who am I? Where am
Lucy?
I Yeah. Lucy, is that my name?
Is that my name?
And so that's more of a Ginger Rogers in the 1942 film, the major and the minor that she's sort of, you know, playing off of there. And yeah, that's another one. It's a more Southern drawl that she has.
Lucy, I love when Ricky's like, have anything.
Oh, yeah.
Spark her memory. And she's just like, no, no, no. Oh, oh. No.
She picks up something random. Oh my God. And you know, it's the only time we see that really pretty picture of her framed behind her on the mantle. Never, it never makes again. Another appearance, but yeah, it's just like this huge headshot
there so that he can be like, do you remember?
I gave this to
she's
you.
Pretty.
Who is she? Yeah. It's yeah. The, and so you know, he's concerned. He's holding this huge 8x10 photo of her and no idea who she is. And so then she goes off to the bedroom. She mistakes the kitchen for it, then mistakes the front door for it, bumps into the piano for no reason.
Oh. It's not here. Oh.
And yeah. Then, of course, she goes into the bedroom. Is this a nice apartment you have here, mister? And then just bats her lashes at him. Oh my God. That's, again, one of my favorite scenes.
So after this, Ricky's going to be concerned, obviously. Mm-hmm. And he calls Dr. Stevenson. He reaches the answering service. We can kind of guess that this is for Edward Stevenson. Stevenson, the costume designer. He was the designer of a lot of gowns for Lucille Ball, and he did eventually become the costume designer for I Love Lucy.
So sometimes they do honor some of their staff with names in the show.
So, but I love that in this conversation, right? You can hear you obviously don't hear the other end of it, but you can tell that person was like, "Wait, pulled like a Fred line." Like crazy for,
oh yes,
Lucy or
yes, or crazy for
like, no. This time it's really worrisome or something like that. Like so you could obviously just assume that
he's complained about
the
person her
on the other part was like, wait, we know Lucy. Is it really?
How can you tell?
Yeah, how can you tell? So after he calls, he leaves. You know, what is it, like a message, because no one's sent out right away.
Right.
Oh, wait, they say to play along for now.
And, to humor her.
To humor her.
Yeah.
I love, again, this is just another, I mean, she plays all of these roles so well. Mm-hmm. You know, like when she's like, okay, take a big lick. And he licks, she's like, that's enough. You know? You get one lick.
Oh, man.
And he kicks her, or she kicks
she
him.
She kicks so him.
She's now. She just had all this pent up anger from getting kicked by these two goblins the last time.
I was about to say, I wonder if that, you know, the writers, of course, were playing off of the episode that was just done before, because it's the same
like, I know
sort
what a
of
bratty child.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's the kicking of the shins and saying, I want it. I want it. I want it. And she kind of did the same sort of, you know, rhythm when doing that. And so kind of gave me PTSD from the previous episode. Yeah.
Oh, but then they're on the trike and they fall down. It's just all gold.
Yeah, she
really.
That's her portion of resorting to childlike behavior, because it's part of the psychological manipulation that she's attempting to play on him.
And so, okay, so the next scene we see, you know, Fred's waiting, I think, or Fred, Ricky's waiting, I think, to hear from the doctor, and Ethel and Lucy are in the back room playing Jax. Have you ever played Jax?
I have. I did when I was a kid, and it's you know, it's one of those things, you've got the little Jax pieces and then you have the little bouncy ball, and it's one of those things that you don't think what will be fun, but then you realize
it is,
and an hour has gone by.
Pick up sticks.
Yeah. My mom
always
used to
get so like
play that
invested in that game for some reason.
It's simpler times, Ziva. Simpler times. No iPhones,
no
iPads, just Jack's
take
a Apollo's sidewalk.
Phone from him and hand him a bunch of sticks. Yeah. Be like, what am I supposed to do?
What to do with this woman? Throws it back at you. Give me my iPhone.
That what my son is going to sound like? Oh, no.
Darling.
Darling. In my day, darling, yes. We didn't have these things, darling. Anyways, so Fred comes in. I'm just getting everyone mixed up tonight.
It's okay.
Fred comes in and he's like, listen, Lucy's faking it. I love how they put the black around his neck because you can see like that's where he got stuck.
Yeah, right.
He says he got stuck in the pipe. And I just love that they, you know, they really made sure to have that there.
He said he was there for an hour because he couldn't get his head out of there to
get it out.
Come and tell him soon.
But yeah, so Ricky finds out that Lucy's faking. And so he decides to get back at her by calling his friend Hal March.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Whose actual name is Hal March.
Yes.
That's who he is. At the end of the show, the announcer says the part of Hal March was played by Hal March.
yes. Friend of the Arnezes.
Yes, he was a friend of the Arnezes in real life. He's a Jewish American comedian and actor. He first came to know as part of a comedy team with Bob Sweeney. They performed in the early 1950s as Sweeney and March. And then of course he was on, you know, smaller shows. He appeared on shows, well, not smaller, but smaller parts for Burns and Allen's I Love Lucy. And then in 1955, he was the host, the $64,000 question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is. I don't know what it is, but that's what he was host for from 55 to 58. And that's what he's really known for. So,
and of course, any Lucy watchers will remember him as the lingerie salesman, Eddie Grant, in Lucy is Matchmaker. You remember he's the one who thinks Lucy is flirting with him and setting up a date for herself.
He's so sleazy in the second one.
Yeah.
And that was season 2, episode 27.
Oh my, we'll get there.
At some point. And we'll also on the I Love Lucy or on the
Lucy Show. Yeah.
The I Love Lucy Show. Yeah.
Right. One of the Lucy shows. Yeah. In 1966, he did
one of them
make an appearance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So they decide, you know, just make it up, figure something out.
Yeah.
And so he comes in and
pretending to be a doctor.
Doctor. Yeah. And he talks about, okay. It was the Goblots.
The Goblots. Yes.
Goblots.
Yes. Listen, if we're going to have a fake illness, we have to pronounce the fake illness correctly.
Goblots. The rare tropical disease is carried to America on the hind legs of a Bushu bird.
I got the Goblots from the Bushu bird. So funny.
People that have it can undergo a zork. You know what I mean?
Yep. Removing the sort is what she's trying to say.
There you go. You can have a total or partial removal of the zort.
Yeah.
And I love what he's like. And
the joke.
People that do will never be able to trumble again. And at first, Lucy's like, oh, and she's like, wait a second. What's trumbling?
Oh, but the joke between Ricky and the fake doctor. Hey, one sort is better than no sort at all. And they're laughing at her.
They all start laughing. Even Ethel.
Yeah.
My question is, there's one point where Ricky just kind of like loses it. I'm like, how does Lucy not notice that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Suspend disbelief, I guess. and then if you turn so green, funny. You die within 30 minutes. You're dead.
You're dead in 30 minutes after. Yeah.
30 minutes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is interesting. It's a rare tropical disease. When I first came... when I was adopted from Brazil, I was really sick for like the first year of my life and they could not figure out what it was.
I think you brought the Goblots from the hind legs.
Exactly. They did a lot of testing for rare tropical diseases because they thought maybe I had something in Brazil and I brought it here.
That's hilarious.
It was asthma, guys. I had asthma. But
I'm fine, darling.
I'm fine, darling. My lungs just don't work, darling.
Darling. My lungs were darling. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So but I don't know. Every time I hear that, I'm like, oh, it just wait.
Takes you back.
They tested me for that.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. And what I love is that she's sitting in her bed with the little food tray. She's got this massive bow in her head to really drive the point home that she's being very childlike.
Yeah. Oh, and this is where we see the first real, vision. This is where we see for the first time the bear.
The teddy bear. Yeah. The
teddy bear, mm-hmm. Right? And we're going to see it again with Rick. With Ricky Minds the baby, and then an even bigger part for nursery school.
Yes.
Because this is what she's bringing in to the hospital trying to sneak in to see him.
Yeah, yeah.
Little Ricky, that is.
So they've diagnosed her with that.
Mm-hmm.
And she tells her, or the doctor tells her that she, hopefully she doesn't turn green or she'll be dead in 30 minutes. And of course the next scene is Ricky with Fred.
She's going to turn green.
Letting them know that she will in fact be turning green because of the light bulb that he's purchased. Now in that scene, of course, he's holding a carton of cigarettes. And any guesses as to what brand?
All for Philip Morris.
Philip Morris. Yeah. And so she's holding that very obvious product placement, and which that
it was, he gave a whole carton.
He did. He just handed him a whole box.
I was like, whoa. I feel like if I was smoking.
Yeah.
Like cigarettes are expensive now. I'm guessing they just weren't like pennies back then either.
Yeah.
It's like a whole like carton just here. Have this.
So that carton that had the Philip Morris, character on there was then later replaced when I Love Lucy was kind of in its heyday or much more popular then with Lucy Desi images on the carton, which I would have liked to see, although I should have looked it up before this.
Can you find it?
Maybe.
You even look it up?
I'll look it up to see. So it's a Lucy Desi image on.
I forgot.
Lucy Desi. Yeah. And so what's funny is if you watch that scene, he hands them the carton and then he's offering the one singular one. He ignores it.
Oh, look.
Did you find it?
I found it. Yeah.
It's very cute. So we'll post that with the Instagram. We'll post it up there.
Yeah. I thought it was weird that he didn't take it.
Yeah, I was distracted just by the dialogue. Yeah,
and then he picked it up right away.
Yeah.
Yeah, after he put it down.
Yeah, it's sometimes really interesting to see what their body language is doing versus what they're actually saying because they're so distracted that they can't really, do both at the same time. So they're sitting there and Lucy screams from the other room because suddenly she's
woke up and turned the light on
and she's green.
Turning green.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
So, first of all, I think he says this while they're talking. There's a part where he says they've been in the apartment for 5 years and they were really only there for 3.
Yeah.
Or, well, they said they were only there for 3.
Yeah.
But anyways, we get back and so Lucy touches on one of my only problems with this whole episode.
I think I know.
Right? Lucy touches on it. She's like, she says she's green. Fred and
Ricky
run in. And she's like, you've got it too. Mm-hmm. You're green. And they explain it to her. Like, no, we don't. Ricky's over Lucy's head, like, no, I don't look green, do I? And
Fred's like, no, you don't.
Okay, we get that. Fine, maybe she thinks she's delusional. But Ethel then comes in.
Yeah.
And why does she not say anything? Because everyone and everything in that room would have had a green tint.
Right.
So she's not sick.
And she's not in on the joke either.
She's not delusional and she's not in on the joke. So yeah. She should have been like, oh, hey, why are y'all green? Like, you know,
and
like
of course, what they would have done is, of course, explain it away by saying, now she has this rare tropical disease.
And they did kind of almost like set that up to be a possibility because.
Oh, yes.
He said, you know, that she should he should have Ethel lay down because. She's feeling a pain in her zorch or something like that.
She'll have to have it removed. Half of it, yeah. Perhaps. Yeah.
Half of maybe only half. Yeah. And so they decided this is what I laughed out loud.
This like, is too good.
Real LOL.
Yes.
Because they're like, okay, let's play you
out as you're dying.
Up
her final moment. She's got 30 minutes.
Starts out. So peaceful, like sad, like funeral dirge.
She's got her eyes closed.
Yes.
And what I love,
boom.
What I love is, you know, usually because Lucy's the one married to Ricky, that it's kind of like a baby that only you understand what that your baby is saying. So when he has a thick accent, Lucy's the only one who understands what he's saying. And when he says, I brought the boys to do a farewell dirge. She doesn't understand what he just said because of the accent. So she looks over to Ethel and Ethel's the one who's, you know, he's brought the boys in the band to play a farewell dirge. And so it's just funny that she looks to her to translate what her husband just said.
Oh yeah.
And the boys come in.
She's sick. So Ethel, yeah. The boys come in and they play. I'll be glad when you're dead. You rascal. You is written by Sam Hurd in 1931. So Lucy either, and this is what it says, she either knows the song,
yeah,
or she's just super appalled. Surprised by the fact that it's loud and upbeat. And
this is, in my opinion, one of the greatest proofs of excellent writing, because the idea that they just started this upbeat music tempo song and just shocks everybody and shocks Lucy, and her expression is so well written that it just, you know, I love it.
Yeah, just the fact that she was calm and okay. Oh wait, this is just random, but I'm looking at a photo right of Lucy in the bed and you see the I'll post this photo, guys, but you can see the bedspread that's on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandma had one of these. It's got like the silk border, but I remember using this bedspread and going, this is the most itchy bedspread. Like, I don't know if you weren't supposed to use it without a sheet.
It's just decorative, maybe.
It always bothered me. Because I was like, oh, this is itchy.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's just me, you know, whatever.
It was itchy, darling.
It was. Yeah. I've got sensitive skin, darling. Right.
Oh my gosh.
So of course then Ricky is like, okay, I know you were faking it. And I was playing this joke at you, like, you're not gonna die, you know. And they have their kiss and everyone's like sneaking out, which I just think is funny. Like, they're literally sneaking out of the bedroom.
Yeah.
And then at one point, Ricky had said, you know, we passed over this, actually.
At one point, Ricky said,
you can be in the show. And, you
know. That's why she snaps out of it.
She snaps right out of it.
Yes.
This is right before the doctor comes in. And so she remembers this. And she's like, all right, when do I get to audition? And that's when Ricky does the, who am I? Which is the same thing Lucy did earlier in the show, which I love.
He's like, all right, fine. I won't. Yeah.
Listen, so, guys, that part got a little chuckle from my husband. So.
Whoa.
I know.
A chuckle from Colin. Shout out to Colin.
Hey.
Oh, my gosh. This is fun.
This is a good episode. And I always love when Lucy plays like a childlike character. There's actually another episode, it's from the Lucy show, where Lucy and the Stockholder, where actually Lucy and Ethel and maybe Gail Gordon? I don't remember his name. Mr. Mooney? Do they all play little children? So for some reason, I remember all of them acting like little children, but it might have just been Lucy and Ethel. Maybe. Anyways, they do that's in 1965. So, but that is it. That's the episode, guys.
Yeah, this one, again, stands out so much just because, you know, I didn't mention this, but, you know, she's funny when she's doing the Tallulah Bankhead impersonation, but her hair just makes her look so pretty. I mean, it's just a very pretty look.
Everything she's wearing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole outfit. Mm-hmm. And then also, I didn't mention this, but whatever, if it's a robe or like a house coat that she's wearing while she's reading Abnormal Psychology, that looks super comfy too.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I was like, can I have one of those?
Like... And, you know... We mentioned that Tallulah Bankhead was, of course, a guest star on the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour as the, I think it was Celebrity Next Door. And the reason she was is because Bette Davis was, you know, not available for that episode. Bette Davis being, of course, Lucille Ball's classmate in New York when she went to that theatrical school or acting school in New York City and was told to, you know, save her money.
Go away.
Yeah, save your money. This is not for you. And so, yeah, that's just another interesting aside how all that comes full circle. But this one is fun. So we have a lot of buzz going around with being the Ricardos movie coming out. And when Diva catches it on streaming, we are going to do some sort of in-depth, you know, review, because I think people have opinions about this film. I've heard
people have opinions, guys. I've heard there's been a few comments. I have not actually even listened to yours, Erica, because I'm reading the comments because they're there,
yeah,
but I don't want to list. I want to make my own opinions and then we'll come and we'll discuss them.
It's so interesting because I think everybody will come away from that film with such, no matter your level of, you know, fandom or just random watcher of the show, you'll come away, I think, with a different perspective of what bugs you or what you love of the movie. And I think that's the great part. And at the end of the day, we're all having these conversations of, you know, nitpicking or not, because we all love this particular show and woman, and it's just, that's what's great about it. We all have one common thing that we love, and then, you know, that's why we're all just so passionate. So I look forward to doing that review. Unless you want to add anything else.
Oh, just that I actually saw I didn't read the article, but the title of the article was basically just like, the movie was the most amazing thing that, you know, is a slam dunk. And I was like, oh, I've seen comments that say otherwise.
Say otherwise. Yeah, that's what's fascinating.
Either a love or a hate.
It's either the greatest.
We were saying this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that people either are like, it was a waste of time, shouldn't have watched it, hated it, or again, this was amazing. And maybe it's so that, interesting. That we talked about where maybe like the more diehard Lucy fans are the ones that are like, okay, I don't like this. I can't get behind what they have been discussing.
Right.
And the less, you know, diehard, just like...
like a casual I Love Lucy watcher.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Are like, whoa, this is really good. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we will discuss more later. But
So find us everywhere.
Everywhere.
Ziva sent me a Star Wars gift the other day to remind me. Or is it GIF? I forget. Okay.
GIF. I always say GIF.
GIF. All right. A GIF to remind me that I mistakenly said.
Listen, we just need a shirt that says
"Find us having
a ball," like having a ball, like in the same Star Wars, and then underneath, "Find us everywhere," and then our names, and like in the same pattern.
It'll still get it wrong.
Guys, we should do like a poll and see if anyone's interested in merch of any type.
That would be really fun. I do look forward to that.
That would be so much fun.
Because we're interested
in merch, guys. I feel like I'm going to make merch for me, at least.
At least for us. We could be wearing it, you know, matching stuff.
Yeah, but exactly.
Because we just celebrated 10,000 downloads, which is crazy to me. Well, maybe not that crazy, but just the idea.
I was talking to Colin, and I was like, for a podcast that started randomly advertising like crazy, we don't have a producer or
a huge budget for marketing that
running
type of
us. Yeah. You know, yeah, exactly. We didn't sign a contract with someone to do this. I think in the amount of time that we've been doing it, we're doing really well.
It's impressive. And I'm very
excited. I'm impressed with ourselves.
Yeah, I'm so impressed with myself, and darling.
We're having fun. So, Polly, where's it?
So good.
We just need a milk producer, darling.
Yeah. So it's good. No, I thank you guys for listening to us, for downloading, and you know, the engagement is getting more and more, which is really the goal at the end of the day, is to have these conversations, to have these bouncing off of ideas. And you know, YouTube seems to also be a place where people are leaving their thoughts and opinions, and so for that
we'll take them. Thank you guys.
Having a Ball Pod on Instagram, Having a Ball Podcast on Facebook, Having a Ball Pod at gmail.com, and find us everywhere. Thanks. Thanks, guys. Bye.